Already on the phone is one of my favorite authors, Reese Bowen. It's November. That means it's time for a new Royal Spinous novel. And I believe book number 17, Reese. How are you?
Well, doing okay, thanks, Mark. Apart from my knee, the rest of me is good.
Oh, okay.
And it's book number 17. Can you imagine? It's been going that long. It's amazing, isn't it?
And Molly Murphy, the one you sent me early, thank you, I already read it. Book number 20, that comes out in March. So you're
a
busy woman.
Yeah, my series will end up with both Molly Murphy and Royal Spinous collecting Social Security, I think, don't you?
And plus your solo book, so you've got a lot of books out there.
Oh, I do, yeah. Well, over 50 anyway.
The Proof of the Pudding is out next week, November 7th, as we tape this. It's the next Georgie and Darcy novel. And we finally, Georgie was pregnant in the last novel. She's just about ready to pop. But before that, she has a lot to deal with in this book, Reese.
Well, she does, yeah. I mean, I think the book starts with saying, I'm excited because I'm expecting something. Then she says, no, not the baby, a new chef to arrive.
Yeah.
She's got a chef coming from Paris, and she doesn't know much about him. She met him in Paris, and I think on impulse invited him to come and be her chef. So he arrives, and turns out that he's a fabulous chef. And they give a big dinner party, and everybody's really impressed, including a very strange writer who writes sort of horror books, and looks like it. He looks like Dracula, you know. And but he's giving a great big banquet, and he says, can we borrow your chef for the occasion? So...
Hey, go 9 o'clock, we're down to get ready.
So, I'm on the phone, go away, please. her chef cooks for this very large banquet. It's an absolutely delicious banquet, except one of the courses doesn't go too well.
Nope.
And that might be because the manor house has a lovely garden around it, including one section that is a poison garden. Now, I don't know if you know what a poison garden is. You can guess, but in England there are a few of them, and the one that I've seen, there is something in London called the Chelsea Physic Garden.
Oh, wow.
And that was created by monks back in the 1400s, and it's got... beds in the garden to heal any kind of illness. There's one that says plants for the heart, plants for the lungs, plants for the spleen, you know, all the way around. And then there's one bed that is the poison garden. All of these plants can kill you. So I've been there several times. In fact, my friend Louise Penny and I always meet when we're in London together, and one thing we always do is to go around the physic garden together. Can you imagine two of us, two mystery writers, standing together next to the poison garden saying, well, of course, if you want to kill someone really quickly, this one would work well, and everybody who walks past us hurries away rather rapidly.
Yeah, and then after that dinner party, as you were saying, some people get sick, somebody dies, Pierre, the new chef, is under suspicion, as is everybody that was at the party. And, of course, who's right in the middle of it, Reese? A pregnant, about-to-pop Georgie. She's investigating. She should be home taking it easy, but, nope, she's investigating everything that's going on with people getting sick. And Darcy's too crazy about it.
No, I think it's because her chef, the police are very keen to accuse her chef. And, obviously, he's the obvious suspect because... He created the dinner, and no one else seems to have had a chance to have tainted the dinner at all. And he's a foreigner, so the police think this is, you know, quite a cut and dried case that he was the one who was poisoning people, and they reckon it's because he doesn't like the British, or, you know, he's a communist, he has a grudge against upper class people, and Georgie is convinced that he is not responsible, so she feels an obligation to try and prove. And we haven't mentioned yet, there's another character in the book who I think readers will find delightful. One of the people invited to this big banquet is none other than Agatha Christie.
Yeah, I have that down here to mention, but you beat me to it.
Sorry. I should shut up and let you ask your question, shouldn't I? Yeah.
And you know who else is there? Yeah. Zuzu's there, Sir Hubert's back, and there's a little something going on between Sir Hubert and Zuzu.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Zuzu's a very attractive woman, and Sir Hubert
and Rich.
Is quite an attractive man, and I don't know what Mummy's going to think about this, because she's always had a soft spot for Sir Hubert, who was one of her many husbands, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, she abandoned him because he would insist on going off and climb mountains all the time, and she likes a man who's there and available and adoring and rich all the time. But I think Mummy still has a spot in her heart for Sir Hubert, and the fact that Zuzu now likes him will not go down well.
Well, Mummy's still marrying the German guy, so, and we're fastly approaching, you know, well, we kind of are, Hitler and the Germans rising up, so Mummy could be in some trouble in future books, depending on how you take the series.
I'm very aware of this. You know, we discovered in the last book, which was Peril in Paris, when Georgie meets her mother at Chanel, her mother has this woman watching her. Mummy has a minder.
Yeah.
There's a woman who watches where she goes and who she talks to in Paris. And that, I think that's the first time we seriously think, oh, this is not going to be good. Huh. And Mummy is one of those people who's oblivious to future danger, I think. She knows that Max adores her. He's very rich. She's very popular in Germany right now because, well, who wouldn't? You know, she's gorgeous and she's blonde. And so, you know, Hitler likes her and all these other horrible men like her too. So Georgie and Darcy especially says to Georgie, you know, this is not going to go well in the future. So that is something that is hovering over future books, I think. I don't know how we'll handle it, but we're going to have to tackle it at some stage.
And you're also going to have to tackle, and you just briefly mentioned them in the book. They're not really in it, spoiler alert, The King and the Simpson Woman.
Yeah, absolutely. We're coming to, I mean, this is a big year for lots of things.
Yeah.
1936, we've got the old King George died in January. His son becomes Edward VIII, but still wants to marry Mrs. Simpson, and she still blissfully thinks that she can be queen. And so we know things are not going to go well there, so that will come to a head after this, in the next book, actually. The one I'm writing right now is starting to come to a head. So we've got that big drama in the year. There's a whole lot of dramatic things. And, of course, we're leading up to World War II, and I don't know what I'll do when I get to that.
Because,
you know, these books are essentially funny. I mean, you know, there's a murder in them, and there's a sleuth, but there's a lot of humor in them, too.
Well, speaking of funny and drama, let's go.
We'll handle the war.
Speaking of drama and funny, we got to mention Queenie. She's not happy about a new cook, and she kind of goes a little ballistic, and it's kind of funny until she sees him, and then all of a sudden she's becoming a little tart and throwing herself at him.
Well, yeah, you know, Queenie, yeah, she's very indignant that they're bringing in a new cook, especially from France, and she says, right, she's going to quit. And so Georgie says, well, I'm sorry, if you must, off you go. And then Queenie decides she'll go back to being Georgie's maid and walks up and tells Georgie's maid she's fired. And so there was a lot of drama in the house until the new cook arrives. And then Queenie takes one look at him and says, oh, he ain't half handsome, miss, isn't he?
And then,
as you say, she's throwing herself at him, which he's finding very embarrassing, I'm afraid.
And then we also have, of all people to show up, Fig, the sister-in-law.
Oh,
that woman's a piece. Why is Georgie and Darcy so afraid to stand up to this woman?
I suppose because I don't know about standing up to her. I mean, Georgie has certainly stood up to her in the past.
Yeah.
But Fig is one of those people that she's just very very pushy and very opinionated, and obviously Georgie is fond of her brother, otherwise she would say, don't ever come near us. But there is Fig. She's come to make sure that someone's looking after Georgie in her hour of need. I mean, can you imagine anyone you'd want to have less around you?
Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but let me just say, Mummy arrives in the nick of time, and I loved what she did in that one scene, but I don't want to spoil it. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I think that was, if you imagine a scene with someone giving birth, it's not exactly how you'd want it to go.
The Proof of the Pudding, book number 17, is in stores November 7th. People can follow you at reesebowen.com, Twitter, Reese Bowen, Facebook, Reese Bowen Author. As I said earlier, you sent me the new Molly Murphy book, In Sunshine or In Shadow. That's out March 12th, number 20th. I'm just going to briefly touch on it because I'm sure we'll interview later on it. But
yeah.
Molly's pregnant as well, so she's going to have a kid. There's an outbreak in 1908, so she gets sent up to the mother-in-law's, which she's not happy about. She's up in the Catskills, right?
Well, no, the mother-in-law lives in Westchester,
Westchester
County.
Westchester, yes,
but,
right.
But her friends are in the Catskills, yeah. So she goes across to visit them.
Yeah, that because Sid and Gus end up going to visit Sid's family, and they're staying at a women's-only commune. And we learn a lot about Sid in this book. We got a lot of backstory on her.
Yeah, I think this is one of our more interesting books in this because, A, you've got a lot of real history. You've got the foundation of the Jewish bungalow colonies up in the Catskills, and you've got the state park there, and you've got this women's artist colony was based on a real one that was there at the time. So, you know, you've got a lot of interest, environmental things happening, and also, yeah, we learn for the first time, really, about Sid and her family, and... I think there's a lot of interesting backstory to everybody here.
And you write these books with your daughter Claire. Is she taking more and more of the lead in these books now?
She has become my fabulous researcher because she loves to research, and she reads the New York Times archives for every day we're writing about, and comes up. I mean, she was the one who we decided we set it in the Catskills, and I knew what I wanted to say about the early bungalows there, but Claire came up with the fact that they just dedicated a state park, and they had a ranger, and what his duties were, and that he reported directly to the New York City Police. So, you know, that can link Daniel to it, and he was essentially nothing more than a fire marshal, really, to make sure that fires didn't break out, which of course he wasn't too good at in this book. But Claire has come up. Claire comes up with lots of good ideas, and she's taking over more of the write. I can't tell now which books she writes, which parts she writes, and which parts I write. So it's really great. She's just, you know, getting more and more confident with it and able to. The book we're writing right now, she's just finishing it off by herself because I've already had to start the next Georgie book.
And I assume you've already turned in your solo book for next year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that comes, I don't know, maybe next August still, it'll be due out. But anyway, it's called The Rose Arbor, and it's set in the 1960s, and it's about a little girl who has vanished while playing in a square in London, and the investigation into it turns up three little girls that disappeared during World War II when they were evacuated. They were put on a train and never seen again.
Oh, wow.
So well, it's lots of little puzzle pieces, and it was a bit different from my other books. It's a lot more sort of intense suspense novel, I think.
So, In Sunshine and in Shadow comes out in March. The solo out book next year comes out in August. The next Royal Spinist, the 18, will come out about this time next year. So you've already turned in. You're working on, or you've already turned in the next Molly book after In Sunshine or Shadow?
No, we turn that in at the end of the year.
Okay. And then
it's going to be called Silent as the Grave, and it's all about the very early movie making.
So then when do you work on your next solo book? Because you've already turned in the one for next August. Don't you have to
start? I'll start that after the beginning of the year, probably in February or March.
Okay, And you're just finishing up the new Royal Spinist book now, or you're writing it now?
I'm in the middle of it. That will take me through to January, yeah.
How do you do it, Reese?
It's a lot of juggling, isn't it? Yeah. It's that book with Claire, you know, is is really the one that's a little bit too much, except that she's now taking over much more of it.
Okay.
I can really trust her to. So she'll say, "Well, I'll handle this chapter where this happens," and then, you know, so it's just really bouncing ideas off each other is what we're doing.
Well, Reese, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Have a great holiday season coming up in Arizona, and I'm sure we'll talk again in March for when Molly Murphy comes out.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you, Mark. I always love talking to you.
You too. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.